Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here. It is June 23rd, 2025. We have a big week. We have Night of Champions, which is, as of now, taking place in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. We had a bunch of free updates on FightfulSelect.com about that. But by God, we are here now to review WWE Monday Night Raw. We had, I got to be real, so much news on Fightful Select this week, including a scoop that went up about AEW All In and what the holdup is with Cope and Christian and FTR. If you're interested in that, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5, actually $5.99 a month in the business. My bad. Go check it out. But if you're here right now in our chat, drop some fruit emojis. And it, look, everybody's dropping these fruits. What's that? Is that a candy? That ain't fruit. You're not allowed to put fruit-flavored candy in there. It's not the same. It's not the same. But leave a thumbs up on this video. Subscribe. We have a brand new Fightful Presents video. If you guys haven't checked those out, we got a neat little playlist on them as well. But we have Public Enemy and their WWF run as well. Like, it's, I'm just so proud of these videos. You're going to see them pop up on other social media platforms in the coming months and stuff as we get some of those monetized. But if you want your question or statement read on the air, I am moderating myself tonight, so bear with me. But send in a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful. Humper Chats over at humperchats.com. That is our Streamlabs platform. But let's talk about WWE Raw, WWE Night of Champions. Now, obviously, because of the contentious nature of United States and Iran right now, there was a lot of concern about WWE talent traveling to Saudi Arabia. And we posted some updates throughout this weekend, and I kept getting assurances from people who were working on the show. And I mean, like, at the show in Saudi Arabia, that it was still full steam ahead. They were still planning on it. They were still expecting the show to happen. I posted this afternoon. Talent had not been told of any update beyond that their flight was still Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday early evening, I think it is. Now, there were some staff that went over a couple weeks ago, and then there were five staff that, because of the some of the shutdowns, got stuck in Qatar for a brief period. They're going to be able to travel to Saudi Arabia, though, so that should be taken care of if it hasn't been already. I was talking to some people about that earlier on, but as of now, the show is expected for Riyadh. Also, there's going to be some fan events and all that stuff that are set up. There's some, you know, from the political aspect of it regarding Iran, Israel, and the ceasefire and all that stuff. I am hardly qualified to talk about something like that, so I will encourage you guys to get your news from the Associated Press or Reuters or somewhere like that. Because listen, if it's wrestling news, your boy has you covered, but when it comes to that, not my forte, not my forte. But as of now, the plan is still to go over there. And right now, the card has Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes. Somebody says Qatar. No, it is not Qatar. It is Qatar. That is how you pronounce it. This comes straight from a person from that country who tried to book me for their shows. But a reminder, mybookie.ag, that you can make your bets there on this weekend's Night of Champions show. You got Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, King of the Ring Tournament Finals, Asuka, Jade Cargill, Queen of the Ring Tournament Finals, John Cena versus CM Punk World Championship, Jacob Fatu, Solo Sikoa, Rhea Ripley, Raquel, and then Sami Zayn, Karrion Kross. Now, some of you are going to say, what on earth happened to some of these matches? Like Dominic and AJ Styles. Well, it got pulled. Somebody says, book you, LOL. That's funny. Yeah, go ask Qatar Pro Wrestling or Qatar Pro Wrestling or whichever you want to call it if they asked me to come over as their guest, because they did. And there's no benefit in me lying about that, but hee-hee and ha-ha all you want. But as far as the Night of Champions show goes, listen, the fact that they have a sixth match on the show, when's the last time that happened? Besides like WrestleMania, right? Now, this is on the Wikipedia. It was only announced like that the match was official, right? Was like, I didn't see that announced for Night of Champions. I thought I missed that. And then I saw, I saw the graphic. It's the Street Fight graphic. Man. Yeah, so I think the audio was bad on that. It's either here nor there. Whatever. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We'll get to it. We'll talk about it. KE775 says, pretty good in ring Raw tonight, with very intrigued about the forthcoming triple threat for the IC title at Evolution. Certainly seems like it is heading in that direction as well. Certainly does. So Seth Rollins comes out. He cuts a promo. And he really goes after the the fans for just like how they react to any number of things. And a lot of this depends on where you stand on how fans should or if they should react a certain way, right? Like if you go, well, they should play along with things. Look at what they're doing with the John Cena CM Punk thing. There's an awful lot of people that are like, man, they're going into business for themselves. Man, I think a lot of that sometimes has to do with quality of the booking and stuff. And when you're on fire, they tend to go a little bit more towards that. But it seems like we are getting more into an era of where WWE fans specifically are like, you know what? I think I'll just cheer for who I want and not for who they want me to. Because for a while, WWE could feed pretty well whatever they wanted to fans, and fans were going to react to it in the way that it was intended. But Seth Rollins says that everyone is fighting for second place, and he criticizes that crowd. As always, like Seth Rollins never has a bad promo, right? Like, I can't think of one that I'm like, man, that one sucked. He's always a consistent promo at worst. And always a sensical promo at worst. So, of course, this is no different. Not a ton of substance. It is like a, hey, this guy's not going to be on the Saudi Arabia show, so here's him sort of bridging that gap until then. He also puts over Braun Breaker an awful lot. Penta also put over Braun Breaker. They had a really good match. Now, besides the one little botch that happened there, which was the slip on the Rana, again, I had posted about this right before then, Braun Breaker is such a unique talent for so many different reasons. But
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
The fact that he has such incredible chemistry with everybody. It's also easy to remember, like, he's not a kid either. He's 27 years old. He's been wrestling for almost 5 years. Grew up in the business. He understands wrestling, even though, you know, he is a former NFL player, recruit. He has this unique ability because of his athleticism, because of his style. If he needs to work a strength game with somebody, if he needed to be in there with Goldberg or somebody like that, he would be fine. If he needs to be in there with somebody fast, like, pardon me, in there with somebody faster that works a lucha style like Penta, he can base for them. He can do any number of things. He has chemistry with everyone. He can take everything. Took a Mexican destroyer. He can work any speed that he needs to. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal ability for this man. Like, he is, anybody you put them in there with, you know that he's going to be able to work to their speed. But other than that, you know, other than that slip, it was smooth sailing for these two. And Bron Breakker naturally gonna win this match. Like, listen, he's the one that I think is being set up for main event level stuff for next year. Now, I do believe that Sami Zayn could compete for the world title at WrestleMania. If not him, I think that it'll be Bron Breakker on a turn on Seth Rollins. Because if you think about this, there are so many parallels to Evolution, right? That was over 20 years ago. Think about that. 20 years since the Batista turn. So they're going to start recycling some of that stuff now. They're going to. That midair spear was really, really good. Bron Breakker did incredible here. And again, even though there was a small botch, I thought that they played this off really well. And Seth Rollins was able to bridge that gap until next week. Gable is backstage. He's talking to Ivy Nile, and he's like, listen, no disrespect to anybody else, you're my favorite student, and starts to put her over a little bit. Then he goes off on Penta and he starts like kind of bullying him. And you want to talk about a very smart way to get somebody's heat back without doing 50-50 booking? This was a really good way, in my opinion. So a lot of times what you would see, especially in WWE, is somebody would lose a match, then they would get their heat back by beating up the person, which means that nobody really gets over in that. In this situation, Penta gets his heat back on a guy that provokes him. He's not being a bad sport. He's not being like hot-headed or anything like that. He's defending himself pretty well. I mean, from the verbal harassment of one Chad Gable. And what I loved was we saw Penta break out the arm breaker. And friends, if you didn't watch Lucha Underground Season 1, you should go back and find a way to watch it, because the stranglehold that that arm breaker had on me in Lucha Underground Season 1 was phenomenal. They booked Penta so good in Lucha Underground Season 1 that if they would have put him against Brock Lesnar at that point in time, I would have been like, yeah, sure, he's outweighed by 60 pounds and probably 5-6 inches of height, but I believe he could get a hold of that arm and break it. That's how well that was booked, man. It was really good, so I'm very glad to see them bring that back in that manner. Of note is that Ludwig Kaiser was lurking around in the background. Now, we've not seen a lot of Ludwig Kaiser recently. He has such incredible upside, of which The Undertaker has even taken note of, said that he sees him as a top guy. And I mean, listen, Undertaker would know a thing or two about top guys. And let's be real. Undertaker is not afraid to say when somebody is the absolute shits. He is not. Whether it be past or present, he's more than open to saying that. But the fact that he's got that endorsement speaks volumes to me. Now, with Ludwig, I just wonder, what on earth is the plan here? What on earth is the plan here? Because him being involved, like just lurking, that's cool, but I needed to lead to something. WWE is good about planting those seeds, but we've seen a lot of those planted seeds don't really lead to anything. Roman versus Seth at SummerSlam, then a Seth cash-in. It seems like it. I mean, when Roman Reigns got tackled through that barricade, I was like, see you at SummerSlam, bro. See you at SummerSlam, bro. I mean, at this stage, outside of maybe one more run, if Roman Reigns says that he's wrapping up in the next few years, which is something that he has intimated, right? There is not a big reason for him to be involved in the title picture. Now, he hasn't been in over, like, what, a year and a couple months now since he lost the title. But, he's also going to probably be putting some people over. If he is sincerely wrapping up within a few years, I'll have to put over some people in some one-on-ones as well, I think. I feel like that is integral to do after you've built this man for over a decade and all that. But I figure he'll be back at SummerSlam. That's what I'm expecting, at least. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Adam Pearce is backstage and unfortunately tells AJ Styles that Dominic is injured. That sucks, man. Dominic has become an indispensable character on this show. And I think that is, it can't be underscored enough. Now, with this, they basically said, AJ, he's injured. It's serious. It's not a fake injury. He's not trying to get out of anything. I don't know if it is a legit injury or it's a story because they wanted to move the match or anything. But regardless, it works. But AJ is assured that the title match is his. New Day show up. They want a photo shoot. Adam Pearce says, hey, bro, you're not getting a photo shoot. In fact, Judgment Day are getting a title shot next week. Next week. I have no frame of reference on the Shivani comment, guys. No frame of reference at all. Y'all are going to have to provide me some details there. I am doing this on my own. Sean, with WWE releasing a second Cross shirt, do you take that as a sign he's close to re-signing? Yeah, honestly, I think probably so. I think that it's hard for me to believe that they would go out there and put out new merch and put him on the PLE if he was leaving. Because his deal was going to be up like within a month, month and a half if he hadn't re-signed. Now, also what I expect is him to probably keep it very close to the vest. I've always had a good relationship with Cross. He ain't feeding me scoops or anything, but even if I asked him, he's not going to tell me, but like, I would imagine even people close to him, he's going to play that very close to the vest because it's worked well in helping accelerate the buzz around him. And let's go ahead and, well, actually, we'll get to that momentarily. But I think that he will end up staying. Grayson Waller also has a little chat with Adam Pearce. But Judgment Day. Let's talk about the tag team division because they really got to get something cooking here, man. I'm very happy to see that Finn Balor and JD McDonagh are going to remain a tag team. They just beat the War Raiders, so why not? They beat AJ Styles and Penta in May. So, okay, I'm cool with that. In this division, you beat AJ Styles and Penta and the War Raiders in back-to-back months. That's sufficient for me to accept a title shot to be given to him. I always want these title shots to be earned, not given, even within the context of kayfabe, right? But I look at that and I go, okay, that is absolutely, that is satisfying to me. I do think you need another workhorse tag team on Raw, though, because they've exhausted a lot of the matchups. Like, New Day turned heel with such heat, man, and they have just dropped it on them. Just dropped it. Backstage, you've got Judgment Day talking amongst themselves. And Judgment Day is put in a good position despite the Liv injury. Dom misses Liv. So Dom is, he's still IC champion. Raquel still has the two tag team titles. Roxanne was getting primed for Queen of the Ring. And JD and Finn were about to compete for the tag titles. So Finn is like, hey, we're in a good spot here. Let's just stay focused. And he pisses off Raquel a little bit, but she gets fired up and he's like, no. This is the right thing to do. And it ends up being the right thing for them to do. Because we come out, we get a Raquel promo. It was fine. It was fine. She says she's not going to let Rhea push her around. She's familiar with Rhea, all that stuff. Rhea comes out and it's a jump. Roxanne helps out. Roxanne is trying to prove herself, especially in the absence of Liv. And, hey, nothing we haven't seen before. Like, this is like what Liv did moving in while Rhea was gone, or you know, just kind of emulating that. I do hope this eventually is a catalyst for a Dominic face turn, though. Even if Liv can't work and you can get her out there and she is a babyface with babyface Dom against like heel Finn, heel Roxanne, I think that works. Now with WWE, there's a couple reasons they don't have people that are not cleared that are on TV a lot. One is they can't freeze their contracts if they're still appearing as an on-screen character because you're still working, right? And another one is they love that return pop, right? They love that. But I think with Liv, considering that she was just off TV for a month and you've had an incomplete division for such a long time, us knowing that she's not cleared and they can highlight that on TV, nobody can touch her. She can't touch anybody else, or she can't do that stuff. She can be there for support. I think that adds a lot to it. And even Adam Pearce saying, when you're cleared, you'll be able to. So then one day there is the reveal of her being cleared. And I think that gets the pop as well. And it keeps her on TV because she's involved in a lot of damn programs right now. So Roxanne helps Raquel put Rhea through the table. Rhea asks for a match. It is confirmed for Night of Champions, a street fight. I think that's the best course of action to go. That'll be the right kind of match there. But I think Roxanne's about to step into that Liv role and start to carry an awful lot of stuff on this show. Carry an awful lot of stuff on that show. Speaking of carrying, you know NordVPN is doing some heavy lifting. Let's hear from our partners. If you aren't watching wrestling with NordVPN.com/Fightful, you are not watching wrestling in the best way. I know times are tough. Money is tight. NordVPN.com/Fightful can eliminate your cable bill if you just watch wrestling. You can watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on Netflix by changing your virtual location with just one click. You can watch pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change that virtual location and get the prices they're getting overseas. In addition, all the wonderful features that we haven't even mentioned. But right now, you save big. 4 extra months free and a 30-day money-back guarantee when you use NordVPN.com/Fightful. By the end of this subscription, you're going to be saving money. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Listen, man, if you all aren't using NordVPN.com/Fightful. You're missing out. You can get all of WWE's content with just one Netflix subscription. Pretty impressive. This is something I want to talk about. It says, hey, man, saw you got into something with the Saudis on X. As a Saudi myself, hope you know not all Saudis are like that. Just want to tell you, since I felt they were being abusive, lots of respect. Well, first off, I appreciate this. Listen, I have nothing against the Saudi people, against Arab people, anything of that nature. I don't know what they were on about. There was a lot of misinformation being spread that I was saying that they were not going to Saudi Arabia or anything like that. Anybody that saw our free report on Fightful Select knows better than that. There was a man lying about what I said about five staffers being stuck in Qatar before they could resume their flights. He's like, oh, well, they're not stuck there forever. And I'm like, I was stuck at Heathrow Airport after AEW All In. All the flights were grounded. I was stuck there. Doesn't mean they're going to live there or anything. They're not trapped there. They're not being held there or anything. And there were an awful lot of people who said an awful lot of very, honestly, weird things, because they thought that, they were saying that me tweeting this is awesome chance in Saudi was like racist or something. I don't know, man. Like, listen, your boy tweets a lot of stupid shit. I think that's pretty clear after the last week. I have tweeted a lot of stupid shit in my day, but not racist against anybody. That shit don't play with me. Anybody that's ever watched my shows, no, it doesn't play with me, but those gentlemen who were being rude can go fuck themselves, because listen, you can't misrepresent someone and just claim that just because you don't like that they are reporting on the news. Sorry. Jade Cargill defeated Roxanne in a Queen of the Ring match. Jade's going to the finals. Well, Roxanne Perez is so good. I'll say that. This was not a good match, in my opinion. But Roxanne had to carry a lot of it. She did her best to make Jade look good, and there are just still some things that don't quite connect with Jade Cargill from an in-ring perspective. Specifically, like some of the offense. Some of the offense is really, really rough, missing the kick by a mile. There's a very awkward spot at the end of this match where there was a powerbomb, and the powerbomb was good, but Jade like held on to it. I don't know if Roxanne was supposed to hold on to her wrist to go up for another one. Then Jade tossed her over and did her finish. It's one of those situations where, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, the gymnastics and all that stuff makes it look very choreographed and all that. And I'm like, well, now, hold on. I would say that looking like you've got to cooperate with someone a little bit too much does that. And that's what I see a lot of in these matches. And this one was one where I was like, okay, we're going to be able to see a lot of what Jade can do in this match, because I know that Roxanne will go above and beyond to make her look good and do a lot for her. There was a lot to be left desired from the selling aspect and all that. And she is such like a physical force and such a presence is Jade Cargill. But like, she has been wrestling for like 4.5-5 years at this point. Like, she's not new. She's been wrestling for quite a while. Tiffany Stratton has been wrestling about that long. So like, I, from an in-ring perspective, like, what standard do we hold her to? Because there, if the match on Saturday resembles like this one, I'm like, all right, well, maybe a tag team is a better option. But what I honestly see happening is her winning Queen of the Ring. I think she'll win the world title. And then I think Naomi cashes in on her immediately. And then there will at least be, I mean, I'm not saying like there's nothing salvageable from this. I think that first off, Jade is great at doing media. She's a fantastic presence. She's a great personality to have. And I thought that in the tag team ranks, it worked really, really well. But I do think that's what'll happen. And then they'll be like, oh, well, look, she won the world championship. And then Naomi will win it because Naomi is absolutely killing it right now. Naomi is having a career-defining in-ring run as a singles, or not just in-ring, but in-ring as well, but a performative run at like 12, 13 years into her career. But I got to agree, the way that she's presented, she should be held to a high standard. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think this match with Sammy is Cross's last chance to prove himself in the ring to have a good match? So that's a common criticism of Karrion Kross, right? There's a lot of people that are, well, then the bell rings. Well, listen, I've seen the bell ring against like with him and Harry Smith. And it's really, really good. Seen the bell ring against Finn Balor. Really good. Multiple times. I've seen the bell ring against Santos Escobar, Johnny Gargano, Damian Priest, even Nakamura. He had one of Nakamura's best matches over the last 3 or 4 years. Dijak, good match. He's had good matches with Samoa Joe, in my opinion. In TNA, Eddie Edwards. He has not been put in a position to have many good matches. Now, what I will say is he's been a main event lately and he's been winning. I watch main event. And his matches have been getting longer and longer and longer on main event. Lost to Dragon Lee in April, 4 minutes. Then he got about 4.5 against Tyler Bate and beat him. Then it was about 6:15 against Tozawa, beat him. Then it was closer to like 6:45, 7 minutes against Cruz del Toro. He had like other than that, like he, first off, he's not really booked on WWE TV very much, like from an in-ring perspective. I thought the match he had with AJ Styles when it was like, what, 10 minutes in Sacramento? Pretty solid. But other than that, when have we really got to see him have a match that goes longer than 7-8 minutes in a singles perspective? He had the one with Bobby Lashley, what was it, last year that got ended? I think Lashley got hurt, right? So he had a couple with him, and you know they were what they were. But if you don't have like a really good match with Sami Zayn, with the audience popping for you the way that they do, that is going to feed an awful lot of criticism, right? I have all the confidence in the world that Karrion Kross is going to have a really good match with Sami Zayn. Both of them are very over. Karrion Kross got punched backstage by Sami after he said, "You will never become world champion." And I see what it is. It is Karrion Kross like motivating Sami. That's really what this is. But I'm honestly as excited for this match as I am any on that show because listen, I'm a Karrion Kross guy. I like his work. I love doing interviews with him. I like his background, his shoot wrestling background, and I'm really looking forward to this one. What do you think is the main event of Evolution? Ooh, I think it'll be some sort of world title match. We'll talk about the IC title thing, but that's clearly headed there. I think they need to do Rhea in a singles. I would go, if Bianca's healthy, I'd go Rhea Bianca as well. But probably Io or Tiffany defending against somebody. That's what I think. Kind of surreal if Jade does win, both Triple H, Queen of the Ring winners are limited in ring. Feel Asuka needs it for legacy. Asuka is one of the most decorated performers in WWE history, so I don't think that she needs it for legacy, but certainly it would add another feather in her cap because she's accomplished like everything, right? Like she had that incredible, incredible undefeated streak. And then she's become world champion about like every way that you can, from NXT World Champion, so on and so forth. She won the Royal Rumble, had a title match at WrestleMania, the tag team championships like four times, won Money in the Bank as well. Like, she has done everything. What a phenomenal performer. That would be my pick as well, but I think they'll have Jade win it, win the title, and happening. Everything they've given Cross an opportunity, his matches have been boring and bad. Like, when? Give me examples of when they have given him an opportunity based on an actual story. Not him coming out there and dropping some hourglass or something like that. Like, an actual story. Actual story. Follow-up says he thought I muted myself. No, I have a little bit more dead air here. Buddy, I am exhausted physically. Exhausted physically. DNC Digital says, I read the Fightful report about Saudi. Don't know if the change is recent. Are there any reactions from talent about the monetary changes to working the shows? So, this is from our FightfulSelect.com report, which, again, we do have a free tier of FightfulSelect.com. If you guys haven't checked it out, we post all kinds of stuff over there. Over 21,000 of you subscribe to the free and paid tiers. But one of the pieces we had broke was there is no monetary incentive for the talent to go over there, because the bonuses are no longer a part of that. These are all baked into their deals now. And as far as their reaction, well, the thing is with that is that these contracts are way, way, way higher than they used to be. Way higher than they used to be. Even the minimum jumped up from like 250 to 350 in recent years. So, I mean, like, the talent that are working these shows are reimbursed at a much higher rate than they used to be. And a lot of that's because AEW came along to compete with them. Michael Cole interviews Goldberg. You know Goldberg, he's always my family. Yeah, that's Goldberg. So motivated by his family that he had to compete for the world title. So, he cuts a promo. It's fine. It's short. He says that he's going to beat Gunther. Gunther's next. Says Fudgeon or something that they censored. And they're not going to let Fudgeon get on the air twice in a week. That ain't happening, buddy. That ain't happening. I think that Goldberg's promos and his TV time thus far have been useful, effective, completely inoffensive. The way that Goldberg should be used. Very small doses. He gets his message across. He is believable. Even at 58 years old, the man is believable. I hope he's safe in the ring. Because if he injures Gunther, boy, we are riding into town. We are squaring up with Bill Goldberg, if that's the case. But there was an interesting note after this, because Michael Cole says, I asked Goldberg, is this definitively your last match? And Goldberg goes, yes. He says, what if you become world champion? Goldberg says, well, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? No, that would be the opposite of interesting. In fact, that would be one of the most asinine, dumb booking decisions in recent memory. It'd be really dumb. I can hear it now. Where was your outrage when it happened with Sting? Sting was undefeated in AEW. Undefeated in AEW. Made sense within kayfabe. Bill Goldberg has lost like three title matches in his last four matches. Makes no sense. Not a bit of sense. I don't think he's winning it. But Gunther comes out and cuts an absolutely fire promo on Goldberg. Just to reiterate, the stuff that we have seen between Goldberg and Gunther, I think has been great television. I don't know that it needed the world title on it. In fact, it didn't need the world title on it. But all of it, dating back to last year, even the promo in the ring with Goldberg, Gunther, and the family and all that stuff, it was good stuff, man. Like, I don't think I've seen a bad thing that Gunther and Goldberg have done yet. And Gunther kicks ass. Bad Robot says, I love that Gunther kept calling him Bill Goldberg. Jesse is great, but Bret Hart on commentary, please. Asuka for Queen of the Ring. Give Io a story. She's too good. Was Io on this show at all? Was she on it at all? And for those of you who don't know, Bret Hart always calls Goldberg Bill Goldberg. So Gunther cuts this promo, and he apologizes to Goldberg's wife for what he's going to do to the man that Goldberg used to be. That was good stuff, man. Like, I sometimes when I'm logging onto the old Facebook, I'll log onto my little Sean Ross Sapp journalism account, and I'll see people be like, "Ah, he's boring, he's vanilla," and I'm like, "What? He's one of the Gunther's one of the most believable world champions I have ever seen in pro wrestling." Goldberg was too, like 27 years ago, he was. But I believe everything that Gunther says. Every time he says something like this, I believe the man. And he's also very quick-witted, saying like, you know what, I got 2 minutes to spare for Bill Goldberg. It's that good shit, man. It's that good shit. Backstage, we have Natty, Maxine, and Tozawa talking with Sheamus. I'm glad that Sheamus is like, oh, yeah, you guys could be tag team champions. Sure. Give them a match. Give them a match. What are they doing? They have been watching Natalya go all around the country and have really badass matches in NWA and Bloodsport and cutting these badass promos. Then they give her whatever that line is to recite. And don't you forget, Sheamus, you are also great. We have heard her talk. We know that's not. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? How long have Natalya and Maxine been on screen together? How long? Do you remember that WrestleMania, or I think it was the Contendership Gauntlet? Do you remember that they actually teamed together 2.5 months ago, while they're talking about this tag team? They finally got a name and all that stuff. They teamed together on SmackDown in a tag team title, number one contendership gauntlet, 2.5 months ago. Shit or get off the pot with them. So, Sheamus and Rusev get face-to-face. Sorry for the dead air. I actually hope this leads to a tag team. Because unless Rusev is going up, 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 I don't necessarily see that his direction after this. Outside of, you know, some meat-slapping matches. I want to see those first. I want to see these two big sons of bitches just doing some of that with each other. Some of those. That's what I... One of those, maybe. You know? Give me some of those from Sheamus and Rusev. I want to hear some of that. That's what I need. And then if they go into a team, I'd be fine with that as well. But not before I hear some of that. Mandatory meat, please. But other than that, I don't know the direction for Rusev. It doesn't seem like they have him poised as like top of the card guy. Sounds like two chicken thighs smacking. Man. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'd be fine with them running back to bar. Just like that. That's what that was. It was them slapping meat and hanging out. That's cool. IC title match. So backstage, Bailey is getting her pump on in her gear that she was going to wear at WrestleMania. Dang. Dang, man. And Lyra goes up to her and she's like, I hope we're good. I hope we're good. And so far, I'm like, why would they not be good? Like, Lyra just did what she had to do. She didn't attack Bailey. It wasn't her fault. And Bailey's like kind of mean. Bailey's like really passive aggressive. And then she's like, yeah, I'm not mad at you. Okay. We're good. We're all right. And Bailey says, I'll make sure when I win tonight that you get the first title shot. Cool. So that should be motivation enough for Lyra to mind her own business within kayfabe, right? Line Drive says, hated the ending of Becky Bailey. Why on earth would you show Lyra resist hitting Becky to only attack Becky when Bailey is fully in control? It made no sense. It was bad, dumb booking. Match, listen, match was good. Match was really good. Loved Bailey using the manhandle slam. A lot of people using each other's finishes. WWE had a good tweet. L1, L2. and the move. Yeah, I love the steel finisher thing. But we saw less of it tonight. But of course, another DQ. And this one was one of the dumbest DQs I've ever seen. So Lyra's out there helping Bailey get back into the ring. Because listen, she wants her title shot. I get that. But then she allows Becky to goad her. It is hard to get behind a dumb baby face. And keep in mind, I'm talking about the character, not the performer. Lyra Valkyrie is a very smart woman. The character was very dumb here. Because Bailey gets in control and she goes in and gets DQ'd. And I'm like, well, what in the hell was that about? Why did that happen? Other than to make her look dumb. Well, I get it. They have to move on to a triple threat match and all that stuff. But you couldn't have found a way to do it that doesn't make Lyra look dumb. Now, listen, maybe that is the motivation behind Bailey. You know, then having her aggression towards Lyra saying, like, you dumbass rookie, why would you do something like that? I was going to give you the title shot. Now, I ain't giving you anything. Because Bailey, it would make sense for her to naturally get a shot. But the automatic rematch clause has been gone, thankfully, for 7 years in WWE. So Lyra has no claim to that any longer. So this just served to make her look dumb. Handspring knee drop. Glad Roxanne is using. I love that to the back of the head, Terry Allen Jr. I love that move. I'm glad you mentioned that. I forgot to put that in my notes, but that was a specific spot, Terry Allen Jr., that I looked at and said, oh boy, that one looks good, especially to the back of the head, neck, back area. That was my jam. Like that one. Roxanne is quickly becoming one of my favorite in-ring performers in WWE. Like, I've always liked her work. I interviewed her back when she was Roxy in ROH. But, man, that is good stuff as well. If Oldberg wins, I support a new Rikishi rant. Oh, man. Love it. Yeah, it is a Mako move. Yep. That's a good shout. That is absolutely a good shout. I used to be such a moves guy and have not been in recent years. Now I'm just a news guy. Just a news guy. Random fact I found out the other day, Damian Demento and Ludwig Borger were in Die Hard with a Vengeance. Were they surely they were like cronies, right? First off, Ludwig Borger, terrible guy, hopefully burning in hell. But I didn't know about that. And if it's Doe Hard with a Vengeance, maybe is that a deer hunting movie instead of Die Hard? DNC Digital. Oh man, I'm so funny. Van Jiminator, what a great one. Thought tonight's face versus face main was fun. Wonder if anything funky happens with Cena's title at Night of Champions. I think they save that for SummerSlam weekend. I think that Cody takes it back. I really do. I think Cody takes it back. Now, I'll use this opportunity to plug my Fightful Select Q&A show that aired today. And we talked about all the news of the week, and people were asking about Cena's heel turn. And I'm like, do I think it sucked? Yes, I certainly do think that it sucked. I don't think, and it's a hunch, not a report, I don't think it's John Cena's fault. It has been largely uninspired and lazy. And listen, it is hard for me to suspend my disbelief of CM Punk sitting at a broken table for what, like 11 minutes. But I also feel like they got really hosed by The Rock just being like, yeah, well, I'm good. Goodbye. I'm out. And Travis Scott not popping up. Whatever the plans they had for Travis Scott clearly didn't happen. So whatever was supposed to happen with this, they got their legs cut out from underneath them. And they got kind of hosed. And I feel really bad for that, because John Cena turning heel, you know what I mean? Like it's just one of those things where it's like, man, they had such a buzzworthy major opportunity, and he jumped into it, and then the execution has been so lazy, man. I'm gonna have the announcer ring announce me again, and yeah, it's frustrating. Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso wasn't frustrating. This was a good damn match. Really great main event. Like, when you're talking about WWE Raw main events, top talent in the company, in my opinion, Cody Rhodes, got it right the third time. Probably top five over talent in the company, Jey Uso. Lots of history between the two, dating back to the Bloodline, then as tag team champions, then what we've seen since then, and it's a King of the Ring finals. To me, that's a big-time fight to have on WWE Monday Night Raw. I love that. I love the big fight feel. I miss that happening on WWE Raw. Now, they have done a much better job the last few years doing that on SmackDown and Raw over the last couple of years, because they've reduced the number of PLE matches. But this one lived up to the hype. First off, I am always going to mark out over anybody doing a double wrist lock, which many pro wrestling fans know as a Kimura. Obviously, Brock Lesnar name dropped. It's honestly one of the top viewed videos on Fightful. I asked Cody about him stealing moves in a very playful way. I'm like, hey, I've noticed that you do the Alabama Slam, and his first WWE main roster tag team partner was Hardcore Holly. He does Dustin's uppercut. He does the Os Cutter and does the double wrist lock, which is the Kimura sometimes. And he says, basically, if I wrestle you enough times, I feel like I can steal your moves. And I love that. I love him picking up history and adding it to his repertoire. But I mean, listen, Brock ain't around right now. Nobody else uses the Os Cutter in WWE. Nobody uses Dustin's uppercut in WWE. So I want to know, who else can he take moves from? Chat. Let us know. Super chats, humper chats, and just regular chats even. Let us know. And get your super chats and humper chats in right now. Dave Koss says, some great effing wrestling on the wrestling program tonight. King of the Ring largely delivered. Very pleased. Cody wrestles so little now, people forget how great he is. Jay was great too. Gunther promo, excellent. Well, I just want to say this. I am glad that they have moved off of live events, because if they wouldn't have moved off of live events, I wonder like how much damage Cody Rhodes would do to his body. Because if that dude's booked for a show, he wants to deliver, right? Like, he wants to go out there and do stuff. Like, he's wrestling dark matches. if he ain't wrestling on the show, a lot of times he's wrestling dark matches. And I get to see that banger last week in Lexington. It was a lot of fun. Pardon me. But the Gunther promo was so good. But this main event was so good as well. Main event was really, really good. The pop-up powerbomb. That's a good one. Oh, the Arn Anderson DDT. Yep. Well, he did do the Oss cutter, which is, you know, it's the Cody cutter now. And he really hammered home that it was the Cody cutter. He did a normal one. Then he did a bit of a more springboard one. Then he did one that caught Jay on the top rope. Whew. Cody cutter heavy tonight. And it was very, very good stuff. Jay goes for the crossroads. He doesn't hit it initially, but does later on, does hit the spear. But then when he goes up for the Uso splash, Cody's like, nah. And then finishes him off and wins. I think it's the right call. Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton at King of the Ring, or in the finals of King of the Ring at Night of Champions. It's a big match. Now, I actually wish they would have had a little bit more time to build it because of their history. But what I feel confident in is that Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton will have like a face-to-face promo at the SmackDown in Riyadh on Friday. And will have like some emotions tied to this based on their history. That's what I'm looking for here. And that's what I expect to happen. And I mean, you look at this card. I mean, there's some good stuff on this card. You got King, Queen of the Ring, but you got Orton and Cody. You got Fatu and Solo Sikoa, which is a match I've been waiting to see happen for a long time. And you listen, wait and see with this one. Jacob Fatu always puts on a show. I think Solo Sikoa is not going to want to get outshined by a lot of people. This is Solo Sikoa's chance as well, fellas, to let the world know that he can compete at that level. Rhea and Raquel street fight, I think they're going to go crazy in that. Cena and Punk have very, very lofty standards to live up to. They have to live up to one of the greatest WWE matches of all time. And then Sami Zayn and Karrion Kross, this is Karrion Kross's opportunity to show his naysayers that he can work in the ring. But I think that Cody and Randy on this 3-hour SmackDown on Friday are definitely going to highlight their history. And I think that they will make it emotional. They will add those emotions to the power of the microphone. I've got very good confidence in that. Thought it was a pretty solid WWE Monday Night Raw. They had a Cena Punk video package as well. Neither one of them on the show, but no Io Sky either. You know, Liv out with an injury, but talent heads to Riyadh Wednesday evening. They get there. They've got SmackDown. They've got some fan events and the like. Obviously, safe travels to all them. I will be here Saturday afternoon talking about the show. And of course, yeah, boys at FightfulSelect.com have all kinds of breaking news, but that ain't all. We are on Facebook. We are on TikTok. We are on Instagram. We have Fightful Espanol. Let me let you know about a change of that we made recently. We got rid of Select Espanol because we kind of did it in reverse, right? We need to establish Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're going to be doing Lucha Libre mask giveaways. The first one with Penta, already a major success. If you want to already be entered into those, go ahead, do yourself a favor. Follow Fightful Espanol on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. We're going to be doing a lot of those. Guys, thank you all so much. Your support is never lost on me, and I appreciate you all so much. Leave a thumbs up on this video, please. Check out a couple things. Our Joe Hendry interview from last week. I got Hollywood Haley J this week. But also, Public Enemy, their unpredictable WWF run and why it ended is now on Fightful's YouTube. Fightful Presents. Until next time, my friends, we are out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.